We are joined by head coach of the soccer team here, Kathy Braun, for episode 3 of Brewing with the Bears. This is sponsored by Shelburne Falls Coffee. Kathy, thank you so much for joining me for this wonderful coffee this morning. Can you tell us what you ordered?
Yes, I ordered a hot black coffee.
That is classic.
And never disappoints.
Classic.
The day has officially started.
Classic. I love it. Well, cheers.
Cheers. Sorry. Yeah.
Well,
you're Greg, right?
I am Greg. Some days. Some days I go by that. All right, so the first question I have is you've had a very unique introduction. And start here, Smith. So can you tell us a little bit about how you got here and maybe describe your first time meeting the team, since it was probably the best first time meeting that a coach could ever have?
Yeah, I really landed in a good way for once. Kristen had reached out to me midsummer about an opening here. I had not been looking for a job, but this would have been, you know, one of the places that, you know, if I was scripting something, if someone reached out from Smith College, in particular, if it was Kristen Hughes, you got to take a serious look
at it.
And, you know, fast forward to the point where I came on a visit, I was treated so nicely, not surprisingly, and then it was a mad dash to, you know, get the logistics taken care of and get here. And so I stepped into a situation where I arrived shortly before preseason was going to start, and just one or two days before the team was leaving to go on a preseason trip to Costa Rica. It could have been like either the shakiest start or the best start in terms of just how it would feel, and it was the latter for sure. Like, the details were all taken care of by Jeanette, the former coach, with the grad assistants who are here already, with Chloe and Casey. Kristen obviously stepped in and, in fact, traveled with us. And so my first in-person introduction to the team was on a bus right at the bottom of those stairs behind the camera there, on our way to Logan Airport for an early morning flight to Costa Rica. And
that was not my introduction here.
And so it was great because, I mean, what a way to travel abroad anyway, with a wonderful group of people. Players were so welcoming. They were, you know, they were curious about being well field, but they were great. I couldn't have asked for better. And all the decisions, everything, the agendas, the itineraries, they'd all been taken care of. I think I had like 3 decisions to make on the whole trip. None of them particularly difficult. It was a good group to travel with. And we got back here and were joined by our first years. For the first day of preseason, the very next day after we landed. So we were off and running, and it was special. It was a special and memorable time, for sure.
What a great intro to Smith.
I mean, tremendous.
Who wouldn't want a great trip to meet the team and get on a plane?
Yeah.
That's really cool.
I can't wait till Kristen plans the next one.
I know. That's really great. I love that. Well, Kathy,
she's a fundraiser too.
So she's a good fundraiser.
I just have to pick a place.
So, Kathy, let's back up a little bit more. Okay, so you were a legend at Colgate and the Patriot League, and even bigger of NCAA Division I women's soccer. You definitely pioneered a lot of different things and dominated the Patriot League for so many years. And let's talk a little bit about your time in Division I, and the success that you brought to that program, and then even jump a little further in like what that looks like then and what you want to build here.
Sure. Thanks so much. That's really sweet of you. So it's kind of neat. So my entree into college coaching anyway was Division I, and as an assistant first. And the first 4 schools where I was, I was at Yale, Princeton, Cornell, and then Colgate, all Division I programs, without athletic scholarships. And so Colgate has athletic scholarships now, and in fact we got athletic scholarships in 2004. So I've had a really kind of neat journey that way, where I was recruiting without athletic scholarships, and then it set me up well for that in and of itself, and how to recruit people in different ways without you know, without the monetary piece. And then I think it set me up really well for when I got here. Division III has always been hugely appealing to me, and in fact, Smith College has always been hugely appealing to me. It's a program that I'd heard about for years. I'd heard about the exercise and sports studies program. I'd known some people that had been grad assistants here, mostly in soccer, but even in some other sports. So I knew it a little bit from the periphery. But in terms of Division I, I had, you know, although I was at one place, I was at Colgate for 29 years, it took on so many incarnations of being a non-scholarship school first, and then most of our head coaches, myself included, had a secondary responsibility with coaching another sport. I was the assistant softball coach for my first few years there, and also teaching physical education courses.
Wow.
So, you know, there's different, you've got to really budget time and figure things out that way. And most importantly, I was just around overwhelmingly just wonderful people. And, you know, for me, that's always been my barometer, like for the choices that I've made with jobs I've had or jobs I've turned down that maybe on paper looked better. But then when it came right down to it, you know, it makes you kind of reassess where you are and what you have. And then eventually our assistant positions at Colgate became full-time, or one became full-time in the other part. And so it grew. So, and then we got athletic scholarships, and those secondary and tertiary responsibilities were lifted. And I remember people saying, like, what are you going to do with all your spare time now? And I was like, spare time? Now I can actually completely, you know, do this and get this program, you know, moving in a different direction. I mean, it was already in a good direction, but just different ways to do things. And so I felt like, in essence, with the three or four phases of budgeting, of facilities, of the support, you know, I might as well have been at four different places in a lot of ways. And I just, you know, just been grateful for the people that I've gotten to coach and work with. I was on the phone yesterday, actually, with someone, a woman from my very first recruiting class at Colgate. So she graduated from there in 1996. And that class has stayed really close, or like 10 or 11 of them. She had to deliver some, actually kind of sad news. We've kept in touch over the years about one of her classmates and teammates, and we've all kept in touch, and just a family situation. But, you know, that's where the network went right then. Like, it just stays that way, and I've gotten to see how, you know, what you want for people is you want them to be able to feel prepared for things and make their choices and have choices and like live life on their own terms. And you know, there was so much of that in place here. I could see from the leadership with Kristen and our assistant and associate athletic directors and the coaches that I met, and then just the environment and the culture here. Like, that was evident even getting here in the summer when not everybody's here yet. The feel of this athletic department and then of the place generally, it felt really good to me. And it felt like it was going to be, for me, stretch me in ways that I was really seeking, to be creative, to get this program that had a really strong culture and a really welcoming environment to really embrace the culture of being competitive without compromising being a good person and being supportive of your teammates. And these players really took a leap of faith to try things that maybe they were a little uncomfortable with or unfamiliar with. And, you know, it's always about that. There's, who cares what ideas coaches have? If you don't have people, assistants, and players that are on board with it and supporting what you're doing. And we have this mantra of allow for the possibility, right? So I wanted people that, it's not always comfortable to be at any level. It's not always comfortable to just be like, we're going to go do this. And for some people, they're very comfortable with that. But for others, that feels, they might have that internally, but they might not just feel like proclaiming it. And that's okay. I think you meet people where they are. And so I just ask people to just allow for this possibility that things can change and you can affect that change. And the opportunity to do that here at this place that I didn't really have to grow to love it. Like, I loved it from jump, and then that keeps growing. is really a special thing to be able to do.
It is shown. I mean, every year since I've been here, right? It's further along in growth of the program, further along the postseason. So what does that look like for you then moving forward in this season as you go forward? Because every year has been just a step beyond and just keep building and getting Smith to that, you know, the conference stage, I mean, one of the tougher conferences, and then also the regional and national, like what's that look like for you?
Yeah, so with it. You know, as you know, you've done it so well, and I have to say that one of the things that, you know, I always love watching and learning from other sports and other coaches, and, you know, I've traveled to do that, I've always watched coaches where I'm coaching, and to be able to watch the coaches here, and you in particular, and Lynn with the basketball program, and you know, you guys are doing this at a very high level, and I've learned so much. I've learned so much from all the coaches. Like, I love having coaching conversations, but not just coaching, but, you know, just how people navigate things with their teams and stuff. And, you know, I didn't have to go someplace to find that. Like, that's happening at Smith. And one of the things I did I've done it every year, but, you know, we've got such great support at our games, like, you know, at your volleyball matches, at basketball games, at our games, that there's a lot of students and a lot of student athletes there. And I talked to my team about, like, I remember seeing basketball celebrating on the court up there, and after a conference championship, and our players are out on the court with them and cheering, and, you know, here I am, I'm happy for them, but I'm also going up to our players, and I pulled them aside, and I just said, hey, you know what, this is great, but you do realize, like, this is you, right? Yeah. This isn't just something, like, we didn't just go to, like, a Celtics game, by the way, I love doing too, but like we did this, we just had to go up the stairs and go to the court, or, you know, go out to the fields, or listen to, you know, Kelsey give a speech or give a talk on something. Like, we've got all these wonderful things here, and we need to pull people in and really learn from that and grow. So I want that for our players, because I want them to experience not just what they think that they can do, but take that little leap of faith, allow for that possibility, and embrace what we're doing. Because it takes risk to go out and be determined to win and get better. It really does, because there's a tendency for people to want to stay comfortable and safe. And that's just natural and it's fair. But you've got to go outside of that sometimes and create new safe spaces and then just keep raising the bar. And when you see people experience that and be part of that as part of a group, the growth that they experience and the confidence they find and the depth of it takes them through so many things in their lives. Yep. And I've gotten to see that from staying in contact with not only the graduates from here, but graduates that, like at our MIT game the other day, there was a young woman, she's like not a young woman anymore, but I'm going to call her a young woman because she's younger than I am. And I coached her back in New Jersey in the 1970s and 80s. And she happens to be friends with one of our players' parents. They went to college together. And to connect with her and see what she's doing with her husband, her family and her daughters and in her life. And she talked about her soccer experience here and at Dartmouth, where she played and went to school. It really is important stuff for people. And I love being a part of that in whatever way, large and small. And I'm sure some people have learned along the way from what they've overcome, you know, playing for me. But, you know, hopefully they also learn some good things in a good way.
Well, I want to even jump a little bit more, because soccer, like, what about, like, can you share a little bit about, like, soccer and just, like, even before coaching, like, what got you into the coaching part? You got into it, you got to be the best at some of the top academic schools.
How about that?
And just being
I never could have gotten into any of these places, by the way.
Me neither.
thank you, soccer.
But you, like, what got you into soccer, and, like, kind of, like, what made you get into coaching? I know you have the family connection to soccer, and just, like, maybe just jump back a little bit on that and talk a little through.
Yeah, so, it's kind of funny. My sister Jean, who's still a grade younger than me if we were in school, and she just latched on to soccer. I mean, we grew up mostly in northern New Jersey, where it's like a hotbed now, but it just was it was boys soccer, but there wasn't a lot of soccer around. But she just latched onto it, and she was very good at it. And I, you know, she started playing. There weren't clubs, like, they were just town leagues. And she was playing on a team, and I'd go to some practices, but I didn't play, and I would kid. I was like, oh my God, what are you doing? Like, you run around for, I don't know what a half was then, like 35 minutes, and, you know, for a few slices of orange, and then you'd have to go run around again. Like, I was like, I just didn't. And then I started playing, and I just really liked it a lot. And we played together, which was really special. And then one of the coaches from a town team that I think it was a softball team, actually, Ann Bing, who is in Old Lyme, Connecticut now, she reached out to both me and Jean, my sister, to see if we would help her coach. I was 15, to see if we'd help coach her daughter's teams that she was coaching. And my sister didn't really want to do it, but I did it. And I just loved it. And I loved it too. It was a little bit of a, it was like, even though it was still soccer, it was my own thing. And so from the time I was 15, I also thought, because I started playing a little bit later, that I could become a better player if I had to teach it and really break mm-hmm. things down. I thought that would be, and there weren't a lot of places, but if you wanted to play more than what your 2 days a week practice and your Saturday games were, you sort of had to just make stuff up.
Yeah.
And so just to be out on a field more, I liked that, and, you know, just grew from there. And then I think the next year I started, they started giving me my own teams in the town, and I started a camp when I was 18 or 19. Mm. Like, we had to see if I was allowed to start a camp. Like, people were really supportive of it. And I was pretty entrepreneurial, and I liked having my own money. And so it just kept going from there. The Olympic Development Program was something that, I started coaching in. But we didn't have a high school team until I was a junior in high school. Like, we had to go and fight and bring up Title IX. So it was all that really grassroots stuff. And, for girls' games, if you got to a field and there was water on it, they would cancel the game. And we would, the parents would, like, bring brooms. And we would go set up the field beforehand, and we would brush the field off. And now I fly to the games on a broom. But it's a foreshadowing thing. But it was all of that stuff. And so when I kept on coaching, as much as I loved being part of that and fighting the good fight for it, and, you know, with so many people, I also didn't want players to always have to be the ones that had to set up the field, that had to go sweep the water off of it. You know, you want people that are going to not be, like, affected and entitled and step in and do the work and help out. But I didn't want them to have to do that. I wanted to create an environment where these kids and the museum women could show up and play and really focus on what they were doing. And it's been amazing to see that happen in the big scheme of things, like a relatively short amount of time.
Yeah.
It never seems like it's happening fast enough, but, and then to be here where that's tantamount to what we do and who we are, mm-hmm. it's great.
So I heard a crazy, I'll call it a rumor. You can tell me.
This could go a lot of ways right now.
You can tell me if this is correct. Maybe you can shed a little light on this.
Sure.
But I heard there could be, like, there was a little bit of a full circle moment. So the team played the other day, and you had an athlete that had, scored, right? It broke a record.
Yeah.
I also heard that there was, like,
My Smith connection.
Smith connection to it.
Yeah.
You know, Sister Jean playing at UConn. So
for sure.
Could you maybe, like, give a little bit on
yeah.
that?
So my sister Jean, not the nun who just retired at 106, but congratulations, Sister Jean. I have your bobblehead at home. But my sister Jean, who kind of, like, does this a little bit sometimes, it was a phenomenal soccer player, All-American, was one of the very first All-American girls soccer teams in high school, went on to be a scholarship athlete at UConn. At that time, women's sports, or soccer anyway, wasn't under the auspices of the NCAA, but AIAW, so there were no divisions. And so Jean holds the record for the most goals scored in a game by a UConn soccer player. There's two people that she's tied with. And she scored 5 goals in a game, and it was against Smith College back in 1981, I think.
Wow.
And back in 1981. And then flash forward, and the other day on Tuesday, we had a home game, and Kaylee Quinn, who's we're so fortunate to have here, she's a grad student. We're just honored that she's capping off her playing career here at Smith. And she just, it's like you feel like it's coming, and she just lit it up and scored 5 goals. So
that's incredible.
So that's the Smith scoring record, and that's the one I'm moving toward. I love that.
And no, it's really cool. And I heard that rumor that there could be that family attachment, and it was really cool that Jean had that, and then the school that it was with and being Smith. But I have some rapid fire questions here. So rapid fire round, ready?
Okay.
So I'm gonna give you options, and then you can just tell me.
Yes, no, true, false.
I know, right?
Okay.
So 50 questions. Okay. Coffee or tea?
Oh, coffee. Mm. Favorite tea.
Favorite soccer player of all time.
Christine Lilly.
Oh wow. Okay. Best soccer city that you've ever been to.
Ooh. I haven't been to. You know, I'm gonna say that. One of the things that really put my learning about soccer over the top was I spent my babysitting money on season tickets to the New York Cosmos games.
That's awesome.
And we lived about, 30 minutes or so from the Meadowlands, okay. Giant Stadium. I don't know what it's called now, but it's that stadium. And so I bought 2 season tickets. We were talking about this yesterday, like right on the 18, a few rows back. And I also did a lot of photography, just amateur stuff, but I learned a lot about the game watching the game.
Mm-hmm.
Because it wasn't on TV. Like, you had to go get it.
Yeah.
You know, you could sometimes find it on a little black and white TV. We won't get into that now. But if anyone liked a history lesson on,
antennas, you gotta hold that,
VHF and UHF. Mm. But anyway, and then subsequently, I worked my way, and I met one of the Cosmos players, and he got me a field pass as his photographer to the Cosmos games for like 3 years. So there's not a lot of people that would say like East Rutherford is my favorite soccer city or wherever the Meadowlands are. But I have to say it was so formative for me.
Yeah.
Being on the field, and when you're photographing somebody, this guy, Hubert Burkemeyer, was a goalkeeper. And so to photograph and get that, because it's all manual.
Yep.
To get that moment and see like the anticipation of seeing how people are going to move based on their body language and people off the ball and on the ball, it was really just an unparalleled experience to be able to do that. And subsequently, I've always made time and bothered people to try and get to like training camps. It's why I go to your practices. Mm-hmm. I watch how your team plays. I love watching like what teams are doing, not just on the field, but what does the bench look like? Like I've known sometimes that my team might be down some, and I look over at the bench on another team, and I'm like, yeah, we're coming back in this one. Like they're not dialed into this. This is like there's, and so so in that regard, I would say that because it really did. Make an impact on me and enabled me to, not just keep repeating. You know, my dad used to say, like, there's a difference between 1 year of experience 20 times and 20 years of experience, right? And so, you always want to stay, as you do, as everybody, like, fresh with, there's some universal things with sports, but then they evolve and they have different points of emphasis and they grow in different ways. Mm-hmm. And it's fun to stay on top of that stuff and share it with your players.
What is on the what's the go-to Kathy pregame hype music? What song would that be?
Oh, so as a kid, when I was like in high school, I used to cut school a lot. Don't try this at home, kids. This is not a good pathway. It's a cautionary tale. But I would cut school a lot, especially on a game day. And I would listen to Meatloaf, Bat Out of Hell. I was a bad influence.
Love that.
I'd be like, come on, you guys, let's go.
I love it.
And we would sneak out of school. We'd go to Oakland Pizza, and we'd listen to Bat Out of Hell. And on the way down. And if it was Halloween, we would trick-or-treat on the way down the hill, Walpole Avenue. And we would do that. But yeah, Bat Out of Hell. And then when I was getting a little older, I'd listen to the Go-Go's a little bit. Like, I associate music a lot with, like, there's songs that could play. There's a Crowded House album. When I was at, did they have another album? They had the one, like, their album. And when I was at Princeton, like, that was the album.
Yeah.
When I was a high school coach at Paramus Catholic in New Jersey, Prince was big, so, you know, that his Purple Rain and stuff. So there's things that are of a time.
Yeah.
That's what, both as a player and as a coach, you know, that's what I enjoyed. And one of the things that I like that I think some teams have gotten away from, I reintroduced it at Colgate my last few years, is that, and I think it's great, by the way, everyone listens to their own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But we've lost a little bit pregame, like a team listening to a group of songs.
Mm, yeah.
Right? And so, or having like a soundtrack of it. And I think they have that in other ways, but I think it's not as associated with teams as much as it used to be. So I like when those things can happen too. So we play a lot of music at practice too.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I love that. We do as well. So
yeah. Steelers wheel. Downs to the left and the Jokers to the right. That's how I call them in. I know what they're
maybe, looking maybe, like, maybe I should say that too. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Grass or turf?
Oh, grass. A good grass field?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yep.
That's what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah. Yeah. We had Beth Newman, right? That was the
absolutely. Yeah. Our field, our geothermal, soon-to-be-improved field, is easily considered one of the top five grass fields in New England. It's phenomenal.
Can't wait for that field 2.0 version coming up soon. Favorite post-game meal?
Oh, gosh, I like everything. You know, as a player, I used to have to wait. I couldn't eat right away. And as a coach, I shouldn't eat right away. But post-game, you know, post-game, I'm like I can't land after the game. I have a delayed reaction after games. Like, I'm not nervous ever before a game. But I'll have a delayed reaction, win, lose, or draw. Like, sometimes I'm, like, I sort of have I need a little decompressed time. So, sometimes I just pick, but I tend to start, I'll go see, our parents set up some great tailgates. I'll check out, I'll snag a little dessert to just munch on while I'm walking through and seeing whatever tempting treats they have. But, anything's good. I like it all. Get all the people together.
If you weren't coaching soccer, what would you be doing?
I think I'm doing this. I should have talked all day.
Have you had a podcast?
You know, I like Jerry Seinfeld's Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. And I want to still make it like Coaches in Cars Getting Coffee. I'm just absolutely going to steal it. But I love listening to people's stories and learning about their lives. And go sit at a restaurant and people can sign up. We'll just sit and have a chat and have some lunch.
I love that.
Yeah.
Maybe a lunch at a Osaka, maybe.
I'll probably buy a lot of scratch-offs because I'm going to, you know, I'd have to come up with something.
That's perfect. Well,
yeah.
Kathy, we look forward to continuing to watch the team this season. And,
thanks so much. Yeah. They're a great group. I hope you all get to come out and watch them play. Yeah. They're fantastic.
Well, thank you so much, and thanks for joining. And
thank you so much.
Could we get a Go Bears?
Oh, Go Bears, Go Shelburne, and by the way, the Bears. I'm so happy we have a mascot, and that it's the Bears. It resonates with me. I have Bears all over the place.
You do.
I do. Yeah, fantastic. Thanks everybody. Thank you, Greg.
Thanks, Kathy.